Good morning. I know we all have our tales of water. Rain is so wonderful, but it seems like we get excesses here. Too much heat, and then we get too much water, and then we, you know, yesterday Keller was closed off. You couldn't get in and out. Briarwood flooded with 90 kids up there. Have you ever tried to do inside games with 90 kids? Senate Council, we all have had a lot of rain, but we thank God for it. The announcements are very nicely done on the back of your bulletin. Is there anything else that needs to be called to the attention of folks? Remember that there is refreshments. I do want to welcome, we do have a visitor who's originally from Liberia, Emmanuel Berry, and we're thankful for his visit today, too. So let us begin our service with the confession and forgiveness. Stand, all those that are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, the one who fashions us, the one who heals us, the one who reforms us again and again. Let us confess our sin, calling for God's transforming power. Source of all life, we confess that we have not allowed your grace to set us free. We fear that we are not good enough. We hear your word of love freely given to us, yet we expect others to earn it. We turn the church inward rather than moving it outward. Forgive us, stir us, reform us to be a church powered by love, willing to speak. God hears our cry and sends the Spirit to change us and to empower our lives in the world. Our sins are forgiven. God's love is unconditional. And we are raised up as God's people who will always be made new. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. For God in
heaven,
you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our teacher and guide, you draw us to yourself and welcome us as beloved children. Help us to lay aside all envy, selfish ambition, that we may walk in your ways of wisdom and understanding, servants. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading for the 18th Sunday after Pentecost comes from the book of Jeremiah, the 11th chapter, beginning at the 18th verse. It was the Lord who made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their evil deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter, and I did not know it was against me that they devised schemes, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, so that his name will no longer be remembered." But you, O Lord of hosts, who judge righteously, who try the heart and the mind, let me see your retribution upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will now intone the psalm as it is printed in your bulletin.
Save me, O God, by your strangers have risen up against me, and the ruthless have sought my life, those who have no regard for God.
Behold, God is my helper. It is the Lord who sustains my life.
Render evil to those who spy on me. Destroy them.
I will offer you a free will sacrifice and praise your name, O Lord, for it is good.
For you have rescued me from every trouble, and my eye looks down on my enemies.
The second reading comes from James, the third and fourth chapters, beginning with the 13th verse. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The word of the Lord. Please rise for the proclamation of the Holy Gospel.
The Gospel is from the 9th chapter of Mark. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He didn't want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples and saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they didn't understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" They were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and he said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all, and a servant of all." And then he took a little child, put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. If I ever get kind of tickled when I start laughing when I say stand all those that are able, something has gone into my mind. We had a therapy dog in my former church, and therapy dogs, this one worked with veterans at the Dallas VAMC, and she attended everything, and she was a Great Pyrenees mix, Bernese Mountain Dog. She was a big girl. And whenever I would say, "Stand, all those that were able," up came the dog. And during the Apostles' Creed, so sometimes if I get the giggles, I have a weird sense of humor, guys. Okay, today we hear James warn against selfish ambition while the disciples quarrel over which one of them is the greatest. And Jesus tells them the way to be great is to serve. And then he makes it very concrete for them because he does kind of a show and tell with them, and he puts in front of them an actual flesh and blood kid. And we're called to welcome the children that God puts in front of us, to make room for them in the daily interaction, to give them a place. When I grew up, And I was adopted into an immigrant family, and children were to be seen and not heard. Well, that's not where Jesus is going. And one of the reasons I think the ELCA does allow children, babies, to be communed if the parents wish, is that they are to be included all the way down. Please don't overlook children just because you can, just because you're bigger than they are, and because you have more control over your life. Jesus says, don't do that. Don't do that. Your scripture texts deal with the urge to have power and control versus that which welcomes others and helps them release from their burdens. But if you're doing that, you have to let go of what you got control of. Mark uses a welcoming a little child as kind of an antidote for our fixation on being in control. But the disciples don't understand, as usual in Mark, and they argue amongst themselves, well, who's number one? So Jesus takes this, they're back in Capernaum, that's where his headquarters is, way north in Galilee, the north part of the Lake of Galilee or Sea of Galilee. They're back home, and so he uses it as a teachable moment. And then he does the reversal thing, as always he does, against what they're thinking about and turns their notions of greatness upside down by asserting that number one really is going to be the last of all. And number one better be a servant of all. And so what Jesus does is gets a innocent, probably noisy, absolutely sticky, and maybe stinky child and sticks him in the middle of them about these disciples who are so concerned about their personal authority. And he puts this child who has no power, no control, and then he hugs this kid. It's a very visual metaphor that whoever welcomes such a child in my name welcomes me and welcomes the God that sent me. And I'm sure the jaws of the disciples have probably fallen open, because in the first century Judaism, it was a little worse than it is even when I was growing up. Children were non-people. They were non-entities. They were nobodies. There was no reason for a child to be in that room with them, let alone near the great Rabbi Jesus, let alone in the middle of a group of men. Children were to stay away from the men until they could assume adult responsibility. And Jesus takes that tradition, reverses it, turns it upside down, and says, when you welcome a nobody, you welcome me. You welcome God. So if you want to be first in the kingdom of God, then you better get used to acting like a childlike servant, open to all people. And we had such an event happen this morning when we welcomed an individual from Liberia early this morning. That is what it means to be one with the Son of God. Perhaps we wonder, well, how do you really welcome a child? If you look at all the Gospels, every one of them, children play a very prominent place, kind of as a metaphor, is how to live in God's kingdom. Because they're free of spirit. They're not bound up by this, that, and the other, with all the shoulds, you got to do this, and you must, and you ought. No, Lord, you didn't do that. That sort of stuff. They're not bound up by that. They're free. And in the very next chapter, Jesus will say, truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a child is never going to get in it. So I really wonder, perhaps, or I believe, that standing before God, just stripped emotionally, spiritually, is how we are to approach God, to give God room to work with us. All of our texts today tell of a way of being that leaves nothing between Jesus' followers and God. And the image of a child that's probably not in the best shape opens to us some of the stuff that gets right in your face, that's very real, that we deal with now in our lives. There is something in the mere presence of a child that is wondrous, that we can't put into words. It doesn't matter about how much you think you know, how much understanding you have, how much effort you put into giving your life meaning. Frankly, as I've visited with some of our quilting women, I've raised 5 kids, 4 within 5 years. And I was raised to be, you got to go to school, you got to be perfect, you got to get straight A's, you got to do, you got to do, you got to do. Perfect is what little girls do, right? Well, those kids took that out of me. Good enough is good enough. And there's something in a child that loosens our grip on things, on our need for power, even some of the treasures of life. And how do we make this type feeling operative in our lives? How do we give ourselves permission to scoop up a little one? You know, you're going to have to let go of something that you're holding if you're going to be scooping up a child. What I do is I just go to Walmart or different places around, and when I purposely do it and I interact with the little kids that are stuck in the cart, you know, with the feet hanging open, and smile and laugh, and you'd be surprised how the parents then, or whoever the caregiver is, will react with you. Perhaps they don't even have the same language, but there is your opener. Because you friended this child. Welcoming the other, whoever the other is, and trying to help them to release them from whatever is binding them is very different from controlling what you're doing that day. We pray. That's how you figure out how to discern what God wants you to do. It's in prayer. You ask God, Lord, I'm not sure what to do. I don't know how to do it, and I may mess it up. So what do you want me to do today? And you have to kind of let go of your expectations. You trust beyond what you can control. And Jesus was asking that of his disciples. Would you please trust like a child trusts and quit worrying about which one of you is number one? At the start of this century, just after he was elected, Bishop Knaus, he was my pastor at that time, our pastor, and we went with 57 of us went to Uberamagal. But we went in through Rome and up 1,500 miles on a double-decker bus and through the Alps, and it was great fun. But the place that really touched my heart was in Italy, Assisi, up in the Umbria area. Assisi is the home of the person we call St. Francis. And there is a story about Francis as kind of a 10-year-old kid in the year 1200 something or other. He was a nobleman's son. He was from a wealthy family. Yet, as a child, he walked away from that, age 10, and into poverty. What he had done, he loaded up all his dad's expensive fabric, borrowed the family's horse and the cart, went into town, Assisi, sold the fabric, gave the money to the poor. Well, when he got home, his father collared him, dragged him before the bishop in the public square of Assisi, and demanded that Francis get that money back from the poor and give it to him. Francis, 10 years old, took off his clothes, all of them, folded them neatly, laid them at his father's feet. And then he turned to the crowd that was watching this and the bishop and said, "From now on, I can walk naked before the Lord, and I will no longer say my father is," and he called him by name, "Pietro Venedione. That is not my father. I will say my father is in heaven." And I think you know some of the story of Francis. This child, Francis of Assisi, grew up to give us many gifts, one of which is in our hymnal. There's a lot of great stuff in your hymnal if you ever take time to read it. But it is a beautiful and familiar prayer. It's on page 87 if you ever want to look it up. You're going to know it. It's familiar. But I want to close with what this child said as he grew in God's grace. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. With the whole church, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary.
He suffered in the
Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
Freed by God in Christ to live and love and serve, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's beloved creation. Gracious God, you gather congregations together by the power of your word. Bless leaders with the gifts of wisdom and discernment as they seek to make your church the community for which you long. Lord, in your mercy. Creative God, blue whales and honeybees sing the goodness of the earth. Glaciers and deserts declare your greatness. Make us good stewards of our home for the generations to come. Lord, in your mercy. Sovereign God, you raise up governments to protect the widow and orphan. Bless citizens with wisdom and discernment as they choose leaders. Inspire leaders to always seek the common good. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, you desire health and wholeness. Reconcile the conflicts and disputes among us. Teach us to heal the trauma of racism and poverty. Break our hearts open to all those who suffer and mourn. We pray especially for those we name before you now. Lord, in your mercy. Welcoming God, you place children among us. Teach us to honor the children in our midst and to pay attention to what they can teach us about who you are. Lord, in your mercy. You surround us with a cloud of witnesses who announce the great news of abundant life to a sad and needy world. Make us a pilgrim people, always telling the story of your loving kindness. Lord, in your mercy.
Into your wide embrace, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your boundless mercy through Jesus the Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Let's share the peace.
Thank you.
us pray. God of life, you give us these gifts of the earth, these resources of our life and our labor. Take them, offered in great thanksgiving, and use them to set a table that will heal the whole creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and light.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, the church on earth, and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join in that unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Remembering, therefore, his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his coming again, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty. Not as we ought, but as we are able, we ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, in these your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and receiving the forgiveness of sins, may be formed to live as your holy people and be given the inheritance with all your saints. To you, O God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Kingdom and power and glory forever and ever.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you, preserve you in eternal life.
Let us pray. Holy and compassionate God, in bread and wine you give us gifts that form us to be humble and courageous. May your words come to life in our serving and in our witness, that we might speak a living voice of healing and justice to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen. God, creator of all things, speaking reformation into being, Jesus Christ, savior of the world, raising the dead, Holy Spirit, living voice, calling and enlightening the church. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.